turn your tax refund into a new kitchen with Menards. Make this the year you check that project off the list. Renovate your space with new cabinets from Cardell. They're ready to install and come in a variety of styles and finishes with free shipping to your home. Visit our kitchen showrooms in-store or go to Menards.com for free estimates today. Plus, check out our weekly flyer for all of our hot deals going on now. Save big money at Menards.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, one in the books. That means still two to go. The big show. It's The Usual Suspects on an FYF Friday. We welcome you in and or back, depending on what the case may be. To the suspects on a Friday. I do want to remind you that, F for funny, Nathaniel Amador is our comedian of the week. He had a clip at 1:15. If you missed it, go back and check out the podcast. But 2:15, 3:15, more clips from him. Barry has already given you a little backstory.
Yes, I have. Sorry, I didn't get to the text line yet. I'll go through it in the next break and get to some of these texts. Some of them are just, you know, typical delete, delete, delete. But I'm sure there are a few gems in there somewhere after the first hour. One of the things I did want to talk about that we didn't discuss after the Rockets game, when they closed out the Jazz, was the crowd. And we've been pretty vocal about this on this show, and as has other shows on this station and then in this market. But it was pretty disappointing because Nick has always been not necessarily a champion of the crowds, but he'll say that the upper bowl is full and that it's traffic and it's difficult sometimes. And we were both in agreement that it was a pretty piss poor showing by the fan base.
It was. It was.
Upper bowl was
Twitter
partly empty.
Twitter was very much supporting that thought.
The upper bowl was empty for the first half. Or not empty, but a lot of empty seats that you wouldn't see. Somebody tweeted me a video showing them after tip-off. I couldn't believe how many seats it showed that were not filled in the upper bowl. Because that's usually your lunch pail and hard head guys. They buy their tickets. They're going to be there on time. They're going to support the team. The lower bowl is usually tickets that are given to you by corporate entities. So people don't show up. They don't care as much. They're just going for the fanfare and the hot chicks and whatnot. And it was a pretty sad showing for a closeout game at home.
It was. And I when I tweeted that out, I saw probably a group of like six or seven people exit the building. I think people kind of took that tweet as like the whole building was leaving. I still thought it was unacceptable for six or seven people. And they're like, oh, they're just taking a piss. I'm like, no, they left the building. I was there. You don't know if they took a piss. But one of the guys, Jermaine, responded and said, you know, it's kind of a redundant conversation. And to a certain extent, I agree. But really, I just want to reiterate that I just document what happens. I just was a little shocked at the fact that there was 4 minutes and 31 seconds left. The Rockets clearly lost the lead. They were only up four, and it was a playoff game, and that's the reason why. I'm just documenting that. So don't think that's my opinion or I'm trying to hate on the Rockets. Like when I tweeted out the video of Chris Paul walking out of the podium, I'm just documenting what happened behind the scenes. I'm not trying to give you one opinion one way or the other.
You are being an outstanding reporter doing your job, which is relaying to the people the information they need because they're not there to actually absorb it themselves.
Right, and if I had an opinion, I would respond to my own tweet or quote my own tweet, or I would put out another tweet and say, this is why I think this is unacceptable. But I've said it multiple times. Joel has said it multiple times. It is unacceptable, and we've kind of semi-accepted it from the fan base.
Now, it's a no-win. You know this. We all know this. Yeah. Anytime we bring it up, you know that we're going to have people that are going to just come at us hard because of parking and traffic and hours and all these different things. I will give the Rockets marketing people credit. The shirts on the seats
smart
is one hell of a way to disguise it, because on TV it really does do a good job of hiding it.
Well, and I brought it up because someone tagged me on a tweet, or I saw a tweet that showed ticket prices for the next series home game.
I was tweeted
$147 for the cheapest ticket that was available, and they said no wonder it's half empty. That's a lot of money. $147 for Upper Bowl.
I mean,
tickets?
Playoff game doesn't pull that kind of demand.
That's Upper Bowl though.
No, but Nick, think about this. $150 Let's go back a year. Seat? Let's go to the Utah and Minnesota series a year ago. Everybody was waiting for Golden State. No one was going to spend more than they had to because it was a foregone conclusion in everyone's mind that that team was going to steamroll those. They don't care.
So you think the price of $147 is a bit expensive for the Upper Bowl? Is what you're saying?
I think that's spending, but I think that that's why, because it's Golden State. It's second round. Everybody wants this matchup. They feel like they're going to sell it out. Charlie, I heard mention right the day after the game too that he saw on the other side of the building from where he was sitting that there were several suites that were dormant.
Yep,
and weren't sold.
That. Remember there when were. We were saying he should have we came ate with us?
Yeah.
No, so the thing is that you know what? It's just. Again, and Clarence and a lot of our listeners were doing the same thing. They were tweeting pictures and saying, what the hell's going on? And I was the one that, of course, because you can't hear the tongue in the cheek, but I was going, Clarence, come on, man. It's traffic, and people get out of work late, and it's difficult, and the means to get in and out of the parking garages with the prices of parking make it difficult to be there on time, because that's what we're going to hear. But there really shouldn't be any excuse for a playoff game at 7 o'clock, not the 9:30 or 8:30 start times due to television, a 7 o'clock start time in the playoffs, there should be no excuse.
I stand corrected. You can get a P9C upper end zone ticket for $139, not $147.
Like you dumbass.
So
that blows everything out now.
I was $7 over, $140 to...
I mean,
did
for,
you go
for
to NBATix.com?
No, I went to the Rockets website and clicked on tickets, single game, and it took me to tix.access.com. And when you scroll through to buy your tickets, the cheapest ticket you can get is $139.
That's
well, the reason why a lot of those Upper Bowls are full is because the ticket is way cheaper. If you've got five or six members in your family, that's a pretty bill.
Never mind. Once you click on it and pay all the fees, it becomes $147.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. So it is $147.
So it is $147 for the cheapest. That's just a flat face value of the ticket.
So take that apology back.
Yeah, I'm not sorry. Now it is one, and then you got 5 minutes to buy it. Section 402, row 5, seat 4, one ticket. $140. I wonder if I continue if there's other fees.
I was just going to say, because $8 worth of fees seems low.
That's the convenience fee, because it's super inconvenient.
Now, be aware of the fact that you do have to bring your own Kleenex, too, because even though you will be in the nosebleed section, that even with your fees, you don't receive the Kleenex necessary to take care of the nosebleeds.
The convenience fee is just... It's just an awful,
AJ
awful
went
part
off
of
on
the
fees
business.
And Fred a couple times, and the fact that they just get you...
There's like an ink fee, a paper fee, you winked at me fee. It's just ridiculous how many fees. I don't even buy tickets online no more.
It's
I hate
like them. The pickpocket of online ticket purchases. Yeah. Like you're not looking and they're like, hey, it'll be $8 more. Like,
and then
what?
And then like the Rockets did the flash seats thing. And they were trying to, because all the buildings, they're trying to get teams and buildings to do it. But you're supposed to be able to reduce the fees if you use flash seats, because now you're not using paper and you just you put either your driver's license or a credit card on file. The tickets go through, and when you get to the building, there's several attendants at all the entrances. You give the card that you put on file, and the tickets come like they pop out of a little electronic belt on the usher, and you get these little mini tickets, and it's supposed to save time and all this other stuff. No, there's fees for that too.
You want floor seats? $2,500.
Damn.
$2,500.
And that's cheap, bro.
I wonder what the convenience fee for a floor seat is.
It's like $1,000.
$2,500. Oh, no. Another fan beat you to those seats. Oh, I bet they did. Let's see. Here's a floor seat for $1,800. Let's grab that. I wonder if they're listening. They're like, get that jerk out of here.
Well, it'll come at me.
What?
If the Rockets people are listening, it'll come at me.
Well, I'm just saying. I'm trying to find. Apparently, these floor seats aren't available anymore.
I'm interested in scalper's price, because this is a big series.
Woo! A section C101A row B. I don't even know what this is.
That's club level opposite the benches.
So a club level. Tell me if this makes sense. $1,000 club level seat. The convenience fee is $16. But $139 upper bowl, the convenience fee is $8. Half as much less. But the ticket is one-tenth of the cost. But yet you're still paying. That just doesn't seem right. I
feel like the whole ticket game
what
is
a racket.
What a racket. Shady anyway. You know what I mean? It's not really like a honest business.
$1,000. No, that ticket was lower end zone row B. Boy, what a racket. Convenience fee. Sorry, the internet, we have to charge you more because it costs us less to sell them to you online than it does to actually make paper. So it's more convenient for us, so we're going to charge you for that. That's essentially what a convenience fee is. It's more convenient for us to sell you a ticket online that we never have to actually print, and it's all done digitally. So it's more convenient for us, so we need to make money on that. Get out of here.
I am I'm interested then in
And it's not just the Rockets. I'm not picking on the Rockets. That's ticket venues, no matter where you go, what you buy. You're paying some sort of convenience fee.
Houston Rockets at Golden State Warriors, Game 1, Oracle Arena. Upper level, Section 204, which would essentially be on the corner of the upper level, is 145 plus fees.
Where is that? In Golden State?
In Oakland.
So about the same.
At the Oracle, so about the same. Now, I would be interested in floor seats. Two tickets courtside on the corner. Starting at $1,400.
That's not bad.
Not bad. But compared not on the floor. Not on the floor per se. Okay. Probably about half a dozen rows back. I'm trying to see if there's anything on the actual floor. VIP court seats from $5,500 plus.
Whoo!
Yeah, it's a big deal. Remember now, you got Silicon Valley. You got all the Googles and the big. They said that their version of the Lexus Lounge is like a who's who of big money in all of the different internet companies and all that other stuff. I was just curious because this is the last year at Oracle because they're going to the new arena next year. But I knew that as you got that near the courtside seats, and again, in New York, the seats are even higher than that. They're not even making the playoffs. But yeah, VIP courtside seats, Warriors close to midcourt, four tickets available starting at $5,600 a ticket.
Damn.
Yep.
Damn. That's crazy.
That is that's big bucks and whammies.
Wow.
I hope it's a hell of a game.
I do too.
So there you have that as we get ready for, at least the Rockets are prepared. They're flying right now, I believe. If they should be airborne. They are flying to the Bay Area to be prepared for the inevitable in their minds, which is that the Warriors will close it out tonight as the Clippers host the Warriors, Game 6, 9 o'clock our time.
Well, last night I saw after the Spurs-Nuggets game that they were asking, Barkley was like, I want this series to go 7, talking about the Warriors and the Clippers. He's like, I want it to go 7. So Ernie Johnson was like, okay, Chuck, is it going to go 7? No. He's like, nah, I wouldn't. If I'm betting, I'm not betting on that. By the way, did you see him race Kenny to the board?
I did not.
Oh, you missed it. You know how Kenny runs to the big board? Yeah. Sometimes Shaq will mess around.
Yeah.
It was Barkley last night.
Now, you know that Chuck's
got smoked.
Chuck's got an artificial hip.
He got smoked. It was so funny.
He's had one, if not both of his hips replaced and one of his knees.
Yeah, he got Kenny beat him. He was getting after it. To use draft terms, he had a high motor. He just got...
Darren Revelled it. Did you see that video? Darren Revell, Mr. Opinionated business sports guy online that gives you... that doesn't like to be challenged, but gives you all the information. He went to Nike's world headquarters, and they put him through, the combine workout. He did a 20-yard dash, not a 40, in 4.8.
Oh no.
And it looked like he had no flex. He needed WD-40 in his joints.
Oh no.
It was all over the internet. It was terrible.
I didn't
see it. Okay, so just in comparison, tonight's game. Warriors Clippers Game 6 Staples Center. Upper level? They'll beat your price. 101.
Oh.
105. 108.
That's not bad.
Okay? Courtside? $5,200 a ticket, brother.
Damn.
Staples Center's a big deal.
Yeah, it is.
So you better have some deep pockets if you want to go to the play. Like Jimmy Goldstein. That's the one that always, Jimmy Goldstein looks like the roadie for the Rolling Stones. That's at every game.
Yeah.
And literally, he'll go to two games in a day. If there's a day-night weekend game, he'll try and make both of them. But he just rolls in it. But you just, even if the teams, everybody in the league knows him now, but even if the teams hold tickets for him, they're not giving them to him. When you think about what he spends per playoffs... When he's every seat he's got is courtside. So I'm looking at 5,200 in LA. We're looking at 5,500 in the Oracle.
Just out here squandering money.
I guarantee you he's blowing six figures per year on playoff tickets.
Amazing. I want to be that rich.
It's crazy, right?
Yeah.
You know, he did it all in parking lots.
I want
he
to be
bought
that
land
rich.
For parking lots before LA really exploded. I guess he's got a house, Pacific Palisades on the cliffs.
Oh, my God.
He's loaded. You probably should shower. All right, we're going to continue to roll on. Hour number two, 3 hour show. Lots more to get to, including your calls, texts, and tweets. It is The Usual Suspects. It's ESPN 97.5.
Answer that.
To call into the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN. ACA could be tweaked, reformed, or repealed in the future. But for now, employers must comply. Visit HRP.net for help.
This is my family.
Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, Roland.
I got a cousin who's half Mexican and half Asian. His name's Juan Ton. I really like that joke. That was... I grew up like any real American in a single parent household. Damn right. For all you people that do know your fathers. So growing up without a father, naturally my favorite cereal was Pops. Gotta have my Pops. Like I put my ear to a bowl of Rice Krispies and you hear the snaps, hear the crackles. No Pops. No Pops in my Rice Krispies.
There you go. Give people the backstory. You're performing with the gentleman on Saturday night.
Nathaniel Amador, my guy, man. He's a funny dude. He's coming up. I don't know how long he's been doing it. I remember him being fairly new. I wasn't like...
Is he from here?
I believe so, yeah. I've done shows with him all over South Texas, really, like all the way down to like, I want to say like Port Lavaca and stuff like that. So... he's one of those names on the rise, man. One of those local comedians that maybe a lot of people don't know of or haven't heard of. But I like giving these guys some exposure and showing these guys just a lot of them. There's a lot of young comics in this city and a lot of not necessarily young in age, but young in experience that are getting better. And that's why I'm excited that we get to showcase them each and every week. So, I mean, some of these guys aren't going to have credits. I'm not going to be able to wow you with. He's done this. He's done that. But that's kind of the point, too. As these are guys that you might see one day on that next level. So,
good stuff. Yep. Good stuff. Hey, by the way, before we go any further, prayers up for John Singleton, director of Boys in the Hood, had a stroke.
Oh, no.
They've brought in his family. He's in a coma. His family is taking control of his affairs currently. Very, very highly regarded director in Hollywood. And so that's a sad story right there. So hopefully he can snap out of that and make a recovery. But I wanted to mention some prayers up for him, so hopefully he gets better real soon. We talked the draft. We talked a little bit about, obviously, the NBA. Astros last night, you and I both said we were watching it. Nick, you didn't go, but I don't know if you peeped it or not. But pitcher's duel, everything that everybody asked for, we said low scoring. Everything that we said was pretty much accurate with the exception of I wouldn't have thought that three bombs would have been involved in a pitcher's duel.
I mean, it's... I guess, yeah.
I loved it. I just kept wanting to get... After Springer's bomb, I loved it, sticking it to Trevor Bauer like that because that was just, I mean, launch. But I kept... Bregman had the opportunity late. He had a couple opportunities with runners on base. And I was just like, come on, man. Just get him.
What I missed was, did Blummer actually call him Tyler Bauer and be like, oh, my bad. I messed that up.
I don't know if I heard the audio on that.
I think he did because I came back after the Springer home run. They were going to break. And I think he called him Tyler Bauer and then was like, oh, I'm sorry. I met Trevor. I'm off right now. And I thought, I love Blummer so
much. He's so awesome. The other one that I liked was Bauer got a couple of sweeping sliders and curveballs on the outside corner and they still called them strikes and they weren't. And just deadpan. Blummer's like, boy, I tell you what, when you got a pitcher's duel of pitchers of this caliber, the last thing you really need to do is help him as much as they're helping him on the corner right there. But and how about Correa? Did you think it hit his foot or not? Did you see it?
Yeah, I thought it hit his foot. I thought it was pretty obvious.
I thought
obvious.
On the replay that it didn't.
It's pretty obvious. And why would he jump up in pain like that if it didn't?
Because I think he figured
that no.
I mean,
your
even
first
Blummer
inclination
was like,
when you hit the ball
even
is to
Blummer
run.
Was like, I want to see the replay. And then he kind of went...
I think it wasn't like crystal clear, but why I don't think Carlos Correa would be one of those guys that's going to fake an injury because it's such a split second reaction. When you think about it, if you look at how long it took him to jump in the air and like hold his foot out like it hurt, that's one of those things where you maybe start to run and then you limp and like, oh no, I got my foot, because you know you're going to get thrown out, you know it's going to be a double play, so you point it out. But in that moment, it was a blink. It was a snap of a finger from the time that it hit his foot to where he reacted like it hurt.
He reacted like his whole leg might be broken, but at the same time.
You ever felt a ball off your toe?
Yeah, I have.
It hurts.
Yeah. But regardless, I was like, you know what? That was a key situation because you had two runners on.
Big deal.
Yeah, you had a chance to. You know, it's in a one-run game. Obviously, every little bit helps. You could at least advance the runners, and instead the double play ends the inning. Again, they had opportunities. I think, again, it was one of those situations we've talked about multiple times this year. Even when they don't score runs, almost every inning they put the leadoff man or a runner on base early in an inning.
Mm-hmm.
So they had opportunities. So they'll be back at it again tonight against the Indians. Lance Erline's going to join us next from Nashville. So all your draft questions, save them. We got our own. No, I'm just kidding. If you want to hit us up on text or Twitter, if we can work in a question or two, we will. But we're going to get to Lance in the next segment to catch up on what the Texans did, what he thought, and what might be a preview of what the Texans will do this evening. That's coming up on the second half of the show. All that next right here on the Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5. Throw your hands up if you got the feeling. Jump up towards the ceiling. Monsters of them. Someone's fucking jump. Yeah, I'll bust them in the eye.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5
and on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Back on The Usual Suspects, as promised, the star of multiple shows on ESPN 97.5, including The Bench in the morning, The Blitz at night.
Never heard of him.
Lance Zierlein, gracious enough to join us again. Second day in a row on our Twin Peaks draft line with draft coverage. Lance, we'll apologize. I thought you were at the draft in Nashville, but you're actually in Los Angeles at the NFL Network studios?
Yeah. I'm on the West Coast.
My false billing, so that's on me. But appreciate you joining us. I caught you guys in the morning a little bit this morning, but I know you had kind of a mid-second round grade on Texans' first round draft pick, Mr. Howard.
Okay, so I need to explain this because it's kind of hard for people to comprehend this. So my grade is, it's really done for the public. The way teams do it is different than the way it's done for the public. So when you do it for the public, you do it for 32 teams, you do it for every potential. You know, when teams put together draft boards, here's what they're going to do. They're going to eliminate. Their draft board's going to be, okay, what are our primary positions of need and our best available players that we couldn't pass up if they happen to get to us? And so they cut down, like the Texans were not, they probably weren't going to have a running back in the first round, so they're not going to look at running, you know, they'll have a draft board, but not with a first round type of grade. They may have a grade, but they're not going to draft a guy there. They weren't going to draft a wide receiver, right, in the first round, so there's right. No reason to even grade those guys until whenever they're going to pick them. And so you cut it down, Devin White, Devin Bush, you know, those guys are not going to be on the Texans draft board. They're not looking to draft an inside linebacker. So your positions of need, obviously, cornerback, tackle. I don't know if I know the Texans value and covet left tackle. I know that. And I've been saying this for a while. There are only three left tackles in this draft. Three was with future stars to me. And it is Andre Dillard, Titus Howard, and Greg Little. Those are the three. I had the Texans reaching for a left. I've got basically the same grade on Greg Little and Titus Howard. I've got a second-round grade on them. However, they play a position of tremendous priority, left tackle. And so the idea was they were going to get pushed up the board. And so on TV, on Path of the Draft, and in written form, I've talked about guys that the Texans could target. I mean, I'm not Texans. The guys who could sneak into the first round, and I've mentioned Tytus Howard a couple times on TV in segments that we've had, because I heard he was getting hot and was going to get pushed into the back half of the first, or the back end of the first. So that wasn't a big surprise that he made it into the first. And in my last mock, I put Greg Little. In fact, I put Greg Little in. I did what, three total mocks? I had Greg Little in two of those three because of the very reason that the Texans took Howard. There's not a lot of these guys, and they had to have one. And when you get stuck in a position where you have to have a certain position, this is what happens. Now, if you had a second-round pick and not given it away just to give Brock Osweiler away and taken a cap hit, you know, you might have taken a tackle last year. But you didn't, because you gave away money because you wanted to save money for Tony Romo. If you remember, that's what they did.
Yep.
They saved money for Tony Romo. Well, you know, they should have taken the cap hit and hung on to the second-round pick last year. That was a mistake by the Texans, a big mistake that I think has had a domino effect on them. And one of those effects is that you got to push a tackle up into the first round. The last time they did that was 2008 with a guy named Dwayne Brown. He was the seventh tackle off the board. And I thought Dwayne Brown was a second- or third-round pick. I had what would have been a lower grade on Dwayne Brown than I have on Tytus Howard.
Okay.
Tytus Howard, I like, when I watched him on tape, I was like, wow. He doesn't have the profile of a first rounder because he's a small school guy, and you know, he still has a little room to grow. But if you read my scouting report that's out there, it's pretty favorable. And I saw he can play left tackle, he can play right tackle, he's athletic, he's got a big punch. There's a lot of things to like about him. It's just going to take a little time, and they've got to develop him. He's got to be, you know, have the football character that Dwayne Brown had. Dwayne Brown said he needed that Eric Winston was essential. Not Eric Winston. Who was the guard that came in from Memphis that came in, the free agent? He's still around, but he's lost a lot of weight.
With the Texans?
Yeah. Wade Smith.
Oh, Wade
he
Smith.
Said Wade Smith, like, helped make him a pro. Wade Smith got him to grow up and stop being immature. Dwayne Brown was very immature his first couple years in the league, kind of partying around, messing around, and then Wade Smith got him to be a pro, and when he got married, he really got a lot more serious about it, and he became an all-pro. He became one of the best left tackles in football. He was a seventh tackle off the board, and a guy who I thought was a big reach by the Texans back then. So I remember having a conversation on NFL Network that here's a guy that could get pushed in the first round. And I said, I got to tell you, this is reminiscent to me of the draft where Dwayne Brown was the seventh tackle in the draft, and he got pushed into the first round. It's got a very similar profile. And lo and behold, I mean, the Texans end up taking the pick. So that's on the positive side. On the negative side is big jump up in competition. I thought he was a little up and down at the Senior Bowl when the competition stepped up. Although I watched him slaughter Auburn the first game of the year. Like, they couldn't get anywhere near the quarterback when he was tackle there. And he's going to get thrown to the wolves more than likely because he's better than Julian Davenport. So it's going to be, you know, he's going to take his lumps early on.
So, Lance, let me ask you this. Why not Juwan Taylor? I mean, you talked about a little bit on your show earlier, and people were telling us that you mentioned the knee. But if you're going to have to wait on this guy to develop fully, and I'm talking about Tytus Howard, if you're going to have to wait on him to develop, why not wait on Juwan Taylor's knee? I know you didn't list him among your three tackles, pure tackles.
Yeah, I thought he was the best pure tackle in the draft. It was very close. Jonah Williams may be a tackle guard center. I don't know. But I thought Dillard, Taylor, all those guys, they're all pretty, and Jonah Williams were all pretty close to each other to me. I mean, when Taylor fell that far to the Texans, I knew something was up, that something wasn't right. And then I found out he was flagged for a knee, but some teams are okay with his knee. I need to get more info on it. Some teams didn't like his personality a little bit. There were some issues there. I'll try to get more information on it, but as far as I know, my guess is, one of two things. He was either off the Texans' board as a first-rounder for one of the things I just talked about, or they believe he's a right tackle only and that they had to find a left tackle to protect the blind side of Deshaun Watson, who's going to hang on to it and who's going to take more hits than other quarterbacks.
Real quick, because I know you got to go, but do you think that they were really looking at the way everything was falling into place and thinking Dillard was going to fall into their lap and did not see the Ravens trading that pick?
No, they just were never like I said in my sports map article, they were never going to trade up. It was just they were just hoping and praying. And the Philadelphia, their plan from the beginning was if they had some guys on their board, but if Dillard fell, they were going to try to trade up because they knew the Texans needed left tackle. And the Texans were not going to give away draft picks because they know that they got a lot of work to do today. They've got to go get a couple corners. They've got to go get another offensive lineman. We might be looking at offensive line corner with their three picks today. The two positions of need we talk about, their first four picks, as we talked about, might be corner, tackle.
Yep.
So we could see that happen. In my mock, second and third round mock, a lot of the teams I just kind of just try to wing it because I'm up at like 2 in the morning trying to finish that last night. But I did pay attention to the Texans, and I gave them Dalton Risner, who can play tackle, guard, or center potentially. And I gave them a cornerback by the name of, I think Justin Lane is who I gave them also. Either him or Sean Bunting.
It was Bunting.
It was Bunting. Okay, so I gave him Bunting, who I know his agent thinks the Texans like him a lot. So I gave him Bunting from Central Michigan, height, weight, speed guy. I gave him Dalton Risner in the second. And in the third round, I think I came back with another cornerback. I did. I just can't remember who it is. Or did I come back with a wide receiver?
It was Jordan Brown, cornerback.
Okay, cornerback from South Dakota State. Yeah. So I went two corners and two tackles. What do you know?
Yeah.
I went two corners, one tackle, but that just adds to the other tackle they got yesterday.
Yep.
So don't be shocked if the Texans, if the guy they want, since they're picking back-to-back, one of those picks, if they have a clump or cluster of players that they like, they might trade one of their second-round picks, move back a few spots, and just try to pick up like an extra third or fourth round pick. That's a possibility for the Texans to do, just so they can add another pick today. A lot of teams
kind of replenish the fourth round they lost for Demaryius Thomas.
Yeah. It wouldn't shock me at all because they're lumped together. And if they have 10 players they like a lot, they may say, "Hey, let's trade this, move back 12 spots." And there's a good chance one of these 10 guys is still going to be on the board.
Gotcha.
You know, and then let's go get that fourth rounder because we think that safeties are a really good fourth round pick, or we think that there's a really good group of speedy wide receivers that we can add to the mix. Their insurance policies for Will Fuller.
Well, brother, we know you're busy. Enjoy Los Angeles. We enjoy seeing you on the TV, hearing you on the radio, but we look forward to seeing you next week. Thank you for everything.
Yeah, I'll be back in studio Monday to break down the whole thing.
There you go.
And watching the Rockets playoffs. If they ever get started.
Oh, they're coming your way. They're going to hang out for the weekend on the West Coast, ready for the Warriors.
I saw that. Well, I mean, you're going to be on the West Coast regardless, I guess, right?
No. If the Clippers win that series, they got to come back here.
That's right.
Yeah. Call your boy Daryl. He's got tickets for you.
Well, I mean, they're going to be playing here.
Let's be honest.
All right, brother. Thank you so much.
All right, we'll see you guys.
Appreciate it. Lance Zierlein right there. You can hear him every morning on the bench, and you can also hear him periodically here and on the Blitz, a good member of the Gal Media family. And that, of course, was brought to you by Twin Peaks. And we keep telling you, if you're looking for a great place tonight or this weekend to watch the draft, you can also watch the Astros, the NBA playoffs, everything that's going on, including that Warriors-Clippers game. Just head over to Twin Peaks. It's sports, scenic views, and they go hand in hand. You can indulge in one of their all-new Smoker Select menu items. That includes low and slow hickory wood cooked meats like sweet and smoky ribs, Carolina pulled pork sandwiches, and other items on the made from scratch menu. We already know the 29 degree draft beers are going to be ice cold, and the best in class Twin Peak girls are going to be on point when they are taking care of you at whatever table you choose. Plenty of TVs, all the different sporting events. It is the perfect place for eats, drinks, and scenic views. Check out one of your 6 area located Twin Peaks locations and make sure you take in all the action this weekend at a Twin Peaks here in Houston.
ESPN 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life.
Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, back. Hour number 2, 3-hour show, Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5. Appreciate you taking us along for a ride on a beautiful Friday in the big city. Not sure if it's been verified that there will be rain in the forecast or not. But right now, weather looks to be pretty good.
My favorite thing about this job is when these dumbasses text the show and say, oh, one of y'all is a comedian and one of you knows basketball. Oh, okay, so that precludes us from having an opinion on the draft. No one says we go and watch film, but we read sources. We talk to people in the business, in the industry, at our own station and otherwise, and we use that information to formulate an opinion, you jackass. That's what it's called. It's an opinion. That's our whole job, is to come on the show and give opinions and occasionally make you laugh. If you don't like it, bro, just flip that dial.
You're welcome to be a member of the B team, and I'm sure they won't block your text for being just a complete idiot.
I just don't understand that. I mean, like, our whole job is to give you an opinion. None of us here claimed, well, we're draft experts, so if we say they got it wrong, then you should go with that. It's an opinion.
Did you do a mock draft?
No, I didn't do a mock draft because I don't do that.
I didn't either. Nick didn't either.
Jesus. You guys.
Some of the comments, man.
Some of y'all are delusional. That's what it is. You're delusional fans.
That's what I just called Tyler.
Oh, really?
On Twitter.
Delusional fans, delusional
people.
That's
because you're a dumbass.
And what you think we're supposed to say and do on this show.
Yeah, I mean.
Jesus.
But he's in denial. Not only did the Rockets PR staff say that Chris Paul was upset when he walked out, she literally said, if I go get Chris Paul and bring him back to this podium, y'all better ask him questions. But delusional ass Tyler, apparently he was there and I didn't see him because he knows what happened and I don't.
I just saw and I just responded because the other thing is this. I know Tyler's trying to say you added the word upset, that no one could see that. Bro, Tyler, you're just wrong about this.
He's so wrong. He's so clueless.
I was in the media room the next home game and the media were making jokes. If Chris Paul comes to the table, y'all make sure to ask him questions or he's going to get mad and leave again. So, Tyler, you're absolutely wrong on this. Everyone in that room knew he was upset. Everyone.
So
they weren't in the room, bro.
Rockets fans are so delusional.
I sent a message, too, because regardless of what the PR staff said, all you got to do is have the audio up and hear that he says to James, one more and I'm out of here. I'm gone.
Tyler was there. I guess I did. My bad, Tyler. I didn't see you.
Tyler's one of those guys that he thinks he's right, and he's not going to back down and admit he's wrong ever.
He's one of those dudes.
Great dude. Great listener. Loyal suspect. But he never can admit when
he's
wrong.
Just delusional, ever. Bro.
Yeah, well.
Wow.
And Lance coming through in the clutch with that info. I was curious to see what the deal was with Juwan Taylor because he said he wasn't sure. He heard knee, he heard attitude. I'm just curious, and I would love to know why you take a gamble on one guy and not the other if the other guy is rated high.
And the thing is that's the to big your thing previous point, Lance's office is down the hall. He's here all day. And we aren't too big and too above the fact that I'll knock on his door several times and ask him questions about the draft or ask him about a certain player or ask him about certain teams and what they're thinking. And he always offers up great information. So, you know what? We are here to facilitate discussions. We are not an expert on every single topic, but we do our homework.
Somebody texted and said, I said hi to Barry at the Rockets game. I got straight ignored. No. If you said hi to me, I've never ignored anyone except maybe unless that's Matt Thomas texting. But he said hi in the bathroom. If you say hi to me in the bathroom, I'm not acknowledging you in the bathroom. That's not gonna happen. If you said hi to me, maybe I didn't hear it. But if you come up to me and say, "Hey Barry, what's up? I listened to the show." I'm not ignoring you. I'm not. Now, if you tried to holler at me across the stadium, then I probably either didn't see you or didn't hear you, but you can ask these guys. Like, I've been with Nick when people have come up and said hi and stuff. I've never not said hi to anybody. Yeah. And when I was there shooting a TV show out in front of the Rockets thing, like 6 different people came up and said, hey, and I stopped and talked to every one of them. Don't pin that on me, man. I'm not AJ. I try to be nice to people that listen to the show.
Right. And there's that.
He'll like that.
Yeah. All right. So we kind of got away from the fun part of an FEF Friday, but we'll reel it back in.
It's one jerk out of 100 that texts the show and just get under my skin with these stupid-ass texts.
We always say that. 90%+ of the suspects are fantastic, but there is a...
I actually just think the text, I know you're the guy who mans it. The tweets, I get to see it. I'm not even mad at Tyler. I just think it's hilarious how much he's defending the fact that he really thinks that Chris Paul wasn't upset. It's just so it's delusion at an unprecedented level.
It's plainly obvious when you leave a press conference in the middle that you're upset about it. No one ever leaves when they're in a good mood.
Because he was happy. Yeah.
NBA, no one ever goes,
NBA TV mentioned it. TNT put it on their Twitter account.
These questions are so great, I can't take anymore. I'm leaving. Woo! This is the best press conference ever. No one in the history of press conferences has ever been in a good mood and left. Never. It's a dumbass take, Tyler. I'm sorry. It's a dumbass take. He left because he was mad, bro. They weren't asking him questions. Go watch the whole thing and see how many questions he gets asked. That's exactly why he left.
There's no doubt. I mean, and like I said, TNT, NBA, someone's wrong, right? Not everybody on the same page could have the same understanding that he was upset and left the room.
Buddy said, you sound like you need a strong drink. I kind of do. I get ignorance starts to just, it festers in me. And then it builds up all these dumbass texts and tweets and comments and everything else.
It accumulates. It accumulates.
And then you explode and you feel better.
My bad, Tyler. I'll get my sources from you next time. My bad. Watching from your couch.
Somebody did say, did Brian Gain honestly think that the Houston media and fans would be happy with the pick? He seemed flustered at the post-draft podium.
And this is, I mean, this is his first full go-round because last year he was really kind of depleted of good picks. Mm. So, I mean, I think, like I said, I think that going through all this, this is an experience, a learning experience for him as well, because of the fact that, you know, he's not the second in command anymore. He's not the guy that's standing, you know, sitting up there next to
him. He still
is. Well, kind of. That's true.
Bill O'Brien.
Billy O was
still
in the room last night. Yeah.
He was handpicked by Billy O. He's still second in command.
But at least he's the guy. He has the guy that has to deflect all the questions.
Sure.
He's the front man that now has to face the heat. So we'll see what happens. Interesting that Lance's information, again, was spot on in the fact that now you've got a little bit of a plan to follow and see how they follow it tonight, looking for two tackles, two corners, to see if they end up in the first four picks that they have.
Was Roger Goodell, the first couple of picks, I really felt like he was trying too hard to be a bro with the players.
He did on every pick.
I almost feel like he was like, we did it, bro. Or something like that in their ear. Like, man, like he called every player bro. I feel like he did.
Forget that. The big hugs. I mean, he was hard bro hugging. He was, you know, he was bear hugging. I mean, it was almost like he was a member of the player's family the way he was going out of his way to give these massive hugs before they took the picture with the jersey. But the funny, did you see, the big kid that got drafted by the Dolphins?
Devin Bush?
No, that's Michigan.
Who?
Hang on a second.
Are you talking about the outfit?
Wilkins from Clemson.
No.
Dude, when he got drafted, he gets to the stage.
The clothes thing.
He does he runs up. I saw what you said about that too. But so he runs up, defensive lineman, runs up, jumps in the air, and Goodell decides, oh, I'm going for it. And Goodell jumps up too. You know how they do that kind of in the air, jump up and kind of torso bump?
Yeah.
Goodell got the absolute worst of it and got crushed midair by Wilkins. This morning, they had a picture. The elevator that opens up, I think it's a Dolphins headquarters, was that picture of Goodell going, kind of just getting crushed by Wilkins. They're like, welcome to the team in Miami. It was awesome.
Devin Bush's outfit.
Oh, God.
He had that.
It was like half a straitjacket.
It was a black suit. With some white, at first I really did think, I was like, oh man, that's good he got drafted with a broke arm. Because I thought it was a sling. I really thought he had his arm in a sling. And then I was like, this something is not right with this. I don't know what that is. I know that that is an option. I'm playing Assassin's Creed Odyssey, mm-hmm. and I'm a Greek warrior. And that is one of the options for my outfit, is one of those leather things that goes across to help protect me in sword fights. So I don't know if he's straight out of Assassin's Creed Odyssey, and he's an assassin, and we just don't know it. I made the joke that he was transitioning to be a stormtrooper because it's just a weird look.
It's going
to
go down with Jalen Rose as one of the worst, and Karl Malone as some of the worst draft day outfits.
I told my wife he is going to regret that in 10 years. He is going to hate seeing that picture. And every time he gets interviewed, that's what they're going to show.
Yeah. And if you don't know what we're talking about, too, go back and Google
Devin Bush.
Devin Bush, and then Karl Malone and Jalen Rose draft day. Jalen Rose, the red pinstripe suit.
Oh, that was awesome.
Karl Malone, the tie that didn't get past his sternum. A skinny tie on a big man. Yes. Yeah, there were some bad ones. So we got 2 hours in the book. Still got an hour to go with the big show. Lots more to get to, including calls, texts, and, we'll see, and tweets from you. But it's the usual suspects on an F Yeah Friday right here on ESPN 97.5.
Pepsi Prebiotic Cola in original and cherry vanilla. That Pepsi taste you love with no artificial sweeteners, only 30 calories, just 5 grams of sugar, and 3 grams of prebiotic fiber. That great Pepsi taste with even more to love. Pepsi Prebiotic Cola. Unbelievably Pepsi.